Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Chinese Christian Church North. Once again, we are excited to have you join us this morning in worshiping our awesome God. Now, if this is your first time with us this morning, we do want to invite you to introduce yourselves to us towards the end of our worship service. We will give you more instruction at that time. But once again, on behalf of the church, I want to welcome you all to come and join us this morning. We have a number of matters that we need to attend to before we look to the Word of God. So first of all, we are going to have a commission ceremony for the Youth New Mexico short-term mission. And so I'm going to invite our youth minister, Jonathan, to come up and share with us who the team members are and what they will be doing.
So we have a very, very busy 2 weeks coming up because Shaco is next week. And then 4 days after Shaco, we get to fly to New Mexico and spend a week in the desert. So it's going to be very busy. That's why we're having the commissioning this week. We usually have it a week before the mission trip, but because we're going to be at Shaco next week. So this is going to be our group if you guys want to come on up. So our group is going to be Sunny So. He's not here right now. He's currently in Madison, Wisconsin, doing orientation stuff with InterVarsity. Joe Wong from ACCC will be coming along. Myself. Natasha is our college counselor. We have Kevin Lee, Edward Sun, Jason Tan, Willa Tsang, Teresa Tso, Jamie Chung, Rebecca Lamb, Jessica Kuo, Jessica Liu, and Tris Tu, Alex Lee, Samuel Lin are at ACCC. But then Joe's here. So, yeah, this is going to be our group. We're going to be flying to New Mexico. And then we're going to be doing some like a VBS-style teaching of Navajo Nation children. So I just pray that we don't get too dehydrated out there in the desert and that we can spread God's word to the little children in the Navajo Nation. And I guess if the family members and friends, if they'd like to come join us up on stage, and we'll have Pastor Jeff pray for us.
So let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, again, we are in awe because we know that we stand in the presence of a holy God. And it is because you are holy that the world needs to know who you are. It is because you are holy, we are willing to set apart our lives for your purpose and for your glory. And Lord, we want to thank you for our Youth New Mexico short-term mission team. They are willing to set aside their summer to serve you in this capacity. They have been preparing for a good while. And so, Lord, we continue to pray for your protection. We continue to ask that you will prepare them. We may not know what is ahead of us, but you know everything that will happen before they do happen. And so we trust that you have something wonderful prepared for our team, for them to experience, for them to do, to minister to the people that you will bring for them to encounter on this trip. But Lord, I pray that they will come to know you better as a result of it, that you will continue to keep them humble before you, that you will keep them healthy and strong, keep them united as a team, Lord, so that no matter what happens, they will be there for one another. I pray that as they learn how to love one another and as they manifest this love in their midst, the people that they minister to will come to know that indeed Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. So Lord, we commit this precious team of young people to you. May you use them greatly. May you bless them greatly. And I pray that as their church family, we will remember to pray for them as they are away on this mission. So Lord, we thank you. May what we do right now, this commission ceremony, be a reflection of your own glory. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And thank you, team. And next, as I mentioned to you earlier, we're going to have another baptism. And this is a very special lady in our congregation. She is in her early 90s. I want to introduce to you Dee Camphila. Would you please come up to the front? Now, Dee is the mother of Francis and Bowen and the great-grandmother of Victoria and Devon. And so this family is no stranger to us. And she recently came to know Christ, and we are excited that she has the desire to get baptized in public. And so for her sake, I'm going to ask her the question in Mandarin Chinese. And I hope that those of you who understand, that you will understand. But for those of you who don't, the question is the very same question that I asked those who were baptized earlier. 婆婆, 你是不是已经接受主耶稣基督当你的救主? 太好了,因为你在众人的面前承认你对耶稣基督的信靠, 我现在要用父子圣灵的灵的名来给你施洗，让你归入主的名下。天父，我们求你保守婆婆，愿你的恩典、父神的慈爱还有圣灵的感动常常与婆婆同在，奉靠主耶稣基督的名，阿门。是，谢谢婆婆。等一下，我们有个礼物给你。 I want to use this time to just pass out the certificate we have for those who were baptized this morning, as well as a gift, which is a Bible. So wait, Popo, not yet. And so we have found a large print Chinese Bible because she reads Chinese. Popo, this is what we are going to send you. Thank you,
Pastor.
Thank you, Popo. Please have a seat. Please have a seat. Michelle, congratulations. Beth, congratulations. Lynn. Congratulations. And Ian, congratulations. And Cyrus, congratulations. Well, this is certainly a very exciting day to see all of these people getting baptized. For Dee, she was very heavily involved in Buddhism. And even before we were sharing the gospel with her, she wanted to have her idols. But right after she trusted Jesus Christ, I went and asked her. I told her that now you believe in Jesus, there's no more idols, right? And she said, that's right, there is no more idols. And so she had a clear understanding. And so we are just excited and, you know, what a privilege to see young people, older people come to know Christ. God is doing something great here, and I hope that you are all a part of it. I want to tell you for the next two Sundays, we do have a different schedule because of Shako Summer Retreat for our Chinese congregation and for our youth group. And so next Sunday, July the 3rd, we will have a combined worship service at 10 a.m. So for those of you who are going to be here, please remember, we will start at 10 a.m., and the worship service will be conducted in English mainly with some Chinese translation. And so because of the time change, there will be no adult college or youth Sunday school, but we do still have children ministry going on. So for those family that have children and that you will be here, please do come. We will be here for you. And because of the summer retreat, the Holy Communion will be postponed to the second weekend in July. And so the second weekend in July, which is July the 10th, we will go back to our regular schedule. I'm going to be out of town that Sunday, and so Elder Ken will be preaching, and then Elder Leonard will be conducting the Holy Communion. And so I hope that you are informed, and so there is no confusion. If you have any question, please do come and ask me after the worship service, and that we look forward to see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock, all right? Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about preparing for the second coming of Christ. Now, if you were paying attention to the news a while back, you probably heard someone predicted that on May 21st, 2011, Jesus Christ was coming back. And according to this person who made the prediction, May 21st, 2011 would be the judgment day. Because of this prediction, signs were posted and displayed in many places to warn people of the end of the world. Now, how many of you remembered this and even wonder if the end of the world was coming? Okay, yes, all right, some of you were watching news. That's good. So how did people react to this prediction? Did the general public take it seriously, or did most people treat it as a joke? Now, before May 21st, CBS News compiled on its website a list of people's responses from Twitter. So let me show you a few of them. So this is from Wendy. She said that, "I really don't have time for the world to end this weekend. Plus, the weather is supposed to be crappy." From Bob, "With all the May 21st end of the world talk, why am I on a diet? If we make it to May 22nd, I'm back on the diet." From Chris. Hello, Chris. There you go. "Worst thing about the end of the world on Saturday, we won't know how Oprah ends." And then from Candace, "My mom acts like the devil. Judgment Day is on her birthday. Coincidence? I think not." And just one more. One more from Frank. "Someone just called up our dealership and asked if we were having a Judgment Day sale this weekend." Now, I don't know if you noticed earlier, this sign in the picture that was used to inform and warn people about the Judgment Day on May 21st has this sentence in it: "The Bible guarantees it." While May 21st has come and gone, clearly Jesus Christ did not come back. The judgment day did not happen. The world did not come to an end. We are all still here. So did the Bible really guarantee that judgment day was going to be on May 21st, 2011? Because if so, that means the Bible is wrong. But if not, what does the Bible actually say about the second coming of Christ? When will Jesus come back? Can we know? And how can we prepare for the second coming of Christ? Well, this morning, let us look to the Bible, the Word of God, for ourselves. So please open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So 1 Thessalonians is located in the New Testament of our Bible. And we're going to see this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, that the confusion about the second coming of Christ is actually nothing new. 2,000 years ago, in the first century, some of the early Christians were already confused about the second coming of Christ. So in his first letter to the Christians in the city of Thessalonica, located in modern-day Greece, Paul addressed this issue. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 this morning, we are going to see Paul's instructions to the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ. And in this passage in particular, we will see three specific instructions from the Apostle Paul on how we can prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. So if you have your Bible with you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And the first instruction we are going to see is this. The first instruction is that we are to be aware. We are to be aware. We are to know what the Bible actually teaches so that we will not be ignorant, confused, or surprised. Please look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Now, in these five verses, the Apostle Paul reminded the Thessalonians three things about the second coming of Christ under this instruction to be aware. First, we're going to see that Paul instructs them to remember what they were taught. To remember what they were taught. Look at the first two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well. You see, the Bible, the Apostle Paul was reminding the Thessalonians that you were taught, you know very well about this subject. So apparently, the Apostle Paul taught the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ before. Now, for reasons unknown to us, they had either forgotten about it, or they had not held firmly to what Paul had taught them. And so Paul had to remind them by challenging them to recall what they already know. There shouldn't be any reason for Paul to write to them about this again, because they know very well. So Paul challenged them to remember and to recall. Secondly, Paul is going to tell them that, remember, I told you guys that no one knows when Jesus is coming. No one knows when Jesus will come back. Look at how Paul describes it this way, and we're going to pick up from verse 2 where we left off. Well, the Bible tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You see, here the Apostle Paul used two imageries. One is that of a thief in the night, and the other is that of the labor pains of a pregnant woman in childbirth. Paul used these two pictures to describe the second coming of Christ. So just like we do not know when a thief will come in the night, the second coming of Christ will be unpredictable to us. We will not know. And just like a pregnant woman will definitely experience but cannot predict the labor pains. Now, I want to remind you that this is before the days of modern day technology, right? We now do kind of have technology that can track the contraction for women who are in labor. So you can kind of tell when she's going to be in pain. But remember, this was before we have this kind of technology. So people didn't know, right? So a pregnant woman will definitely feel the pain, even though she cannot know when the pain will come. And so likewise, we can be certain of the second coming of Jesus Christ, even though we do not know when it's going to happen. And then finally, Paul reminds them, because you already know about this, and because you know that nobody knows. So please don't be surprised when you hear people talk about it. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. And so while we do not know when Christ will come back, Christians should not be surprised about the second coming of Christ because we are not in the dark. Okay, we should not be surprised in the sense that we have no idea about the second coming of Christ, period. Okay, since we do know what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, we are not ignorant or confused about this matter. Now, Jesus himself taught about this subject. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. And listen to the words of Jesus himself. The Bible says, and once again, I'm quoting Jesus here now, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." You see, even Jesus himself taught that no one knows when he will come again, but that when he does come, he will come unexpectedly, and most of the people will be caught by surprise because of their ignorance. And so when Christians are not aware of what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, now we can end up holding one of the following three unhealthy attitudes. First, if we are not aware of what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, we can end up become obsessed with the end time events. Okay, we follow those people who claim they have figured out how to predict the exact year and month and day of Jesus' coming. Even though the Bible clearly teaches that no one knows, okay, but because we don't know what the Bible says, we are so fascinated by people who claim, "Oh, I got to figure it out." Okay, especially if these were people of some good reputation. All right, we may be so fascinated by it, we just keep on following whatever they're teaching. And sometimes we can become distracted or even paranoid. Okay, we try to interpret everything as the events of the end time. Right? Whenever we hear there is a natural disaster somewhere, we freak out and go, "Oh my God, Jesus is coming back soon." Or whenever we hear there is a war somewhere, we freak out and we go, "Oh my goodness, the battle of the Armageddon is coming." Any one of you like that? Now, some of us can even become irresponsible, thinking, now, why should we bother with our responsibilities if Jesus is coming back? Right? Imagine if you were, let's kind of rewind and go back in time. Let's say we're in April right now, okay? May 21st hasn't come yet. And let's say that you believed that Jesus was coming on May 21st. Then why bother to study? Right? I mean, if Jesus is coming back in a month and a half, your test scores won't matter, right? What a good deal. Why do your homework, right? Who cares? I mean, Jesus is coming back, right? And for those of us who are working, I mean, why bother going to work, right? Jesus is coming back. So what if there are deadlines to meet, you know, your work is all piled up? Who cares? You see how we can become irresponsible that way if we keep on following people who are predicting the dates when we are not aware of what the Bible actually says. Now, another possible attitude that we can have is that when we are not aware about what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, we can become skeptical about the second coming of Christ in specific, and even about Christian faith in general. Now, remember I show you the sign that has the sentence that says the Bible guarantees it? Now, if the Bible guarantees it and it didn't come true, then maybe the Bible is wrong not only on this promise about the second coming of Christ. Maybe the Bible is wrong on other matters as well, right? And if the Bible is wrong, how can we trust it? But we know that the Bible is not wrong on this matter, because the Bible clearly says nobody knows, right? Even though countless number of people throughout the history of mankind have repeatedly tried to predict without any success. And that is why we should not just listen to anyone who claims to know that they know what the Bible says without ever verifying with the Bible ourselves. Okay, we must and we need to look it up from the Bible and see it and understanding for ourselves. Don't just take somebody's words for it. Okay, I don't care how well-educated this person is. I don't care how well this person even knows the Bible and quote the Bible. If somebody clearly contradicts the clear teaching of the Bible, you can write it off immediately. Now, another possible wrong attitude that we may have when we are not aware of the second coming of Christ is that we can become apathetic about the second coming of Christ. We look at all of these people have been wrong throughout the centuries. And so we slowly are not interested in the subject anymore. You know, it's like the boy who cries wolf, wolf all the time. And then, you know, later on when he keeps on warning people when wolf really comes, nobody really cares. We can have that attitude too. Because no one has been right, why should I listen to anyone talk about the second coming of Christ anymore? And so we can have this attitude of, you know, this is probably not going to happen for a long time. So I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm just going to party all I want. I'm just going to do what I want. You know, I still have plenty of time. So why worry about living a holy life, right? Let me just do whatever I want now, and I'll worry about pleasing God later. And that is why Paul's first instruction to the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ was to be aware. Know what the Bible teaches. This is how we are to prepare ourselves today as well. If we don't know what the Bible teaches, we will be ignorant about it, and we will be confused when we hear people talk about this kind of stuff. And then we can even end up with a very unhealthy attitude. Now, let us look at the second instruction from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ. And his second instruction is this. In addition to be aware, now he's going to tell them to be alert and self-controlled. Please look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. But why don't we read this passage together? Ready? Let us read. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Now, in this passage, we see a lot of contrasting imageries. And here, basically, the Bible describes for us how Christians are to be different from the non-Christians. So, first of all, we see that in terms of our identities, the Bible calls Christians the children of light, while the non-Christians are the children of darkness. In terms of our sphere of living, the non-Christians, they live in the night under the influence of evil, while the Christians live in the day under the influence of good. In terms of awareness, the non-Christians are asleep in the sense that they have no spiritual awareness. They are ignorant about the second coming of Christ. while the Christians are awake, and that is in the sense that they have spiritual awareness, fully informed regarding the biblical instructions on the second coming of Christ. And then in terms of behavior, the non-Christians are drunk, having no self-control, living a life of carelessness and lack of restraint, while the Christians are sober, having self-control, being careful, and exercising self-restraint. So in using these contrasting imageries, the Bible is teaching us that who we are will show up in how we live, and how we live will reveal who we are. So let me ask you this question this morning. Who are you? What does your life reveal about you? Are you a child of darkness, or are you a child of light? Do you belong to the night and live in the sphere of darkness, or do you belong to the day and live in the sphere of light? Are you spiritually asleep, or are you spiritually awake? Are you drunk, or are you sober? You see, our passage also tells us two contrasting outcomes from these two contrasting responses. Those who are the children of darkness, who belong to the night, who are spiritually asleep and drunk, will be caught by surprise by the second coming of Christ. Whereas those who are children of light, who belong to the day, who are spiritually awake and sober, will be prepared and ready for the second coming of Christ. And consequently, their outcome are very different. Those who are caught by surprise will suffer God's wrath, and while those who are prepared and ready will receive salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's second instruction to the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ is to be alert and self-controlled. If we continue to live in the sphere of light and subject ourselves under the influence of what is good, if we continue to stay awake spiritually through being well informed by the Word of God, if we continue to maintain spiritual alertness, exercising self-control, then when Christ comes back, we will be prepared and ready to receive the fullness of our salvation, because we will not be caught in the middle of doing something embarrassing and sinful. Now, can you imagine whatever you're doing? Okay, think of something that you like to do. And then, bam, Jesus comes back, and you're right in the middle of it. Okay? Maybe you're playing computer games. And then you're, oops, Jesus is here. Okay? Or maybe you're looking at something on the internet that you shouldn't be looking at. And then, bam, Jesus is here. You see, the Bible here is saying that, look, if you continue to do what is right, then doesn't matter when Jesus comes back. You're going to be ready, because you will not be embarrassed or ashamed. But if you don't live that way, if you don't live the way that God wants you to live, oh my goodness, are you going to be surprised when Jesus comes back? So you see, the Bible here tells us that by living a holy life, a life of faith, love, and hope, Christ can come at any time, and we will not be afraid or ashamed, because we are living according to God's will. And so there is no better way and no other way for us to prepare for the second coming of Christ other than by being alert and self-controlled. Finally, let's look at the very last instruction from Paul in our passage. And Paul's final instruction is to be accountable. Be accountable. Look at verse 11 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, I can't get it out, so look at your Bible, all right? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Notice the importance of accountability. Getting together and meeting together with other Christians for the purpose of encouragement and building each other up. Without each other, without other Christian brothers and sisters, without accountability to the body of Christ, we will be confused and we will struggle with living a holy life. So let me ask you this, who are you accountable to? Who do you have in your life to encourage you and build you up spiritually? Do you desire and look forward to getting together with fellow Christian brothers and sisters so that you can care for each other and support each other? Do you look forward to meeting together in discipleship groups, fellowship groups, Sunday school classes, and Sunday worship service so that we can minister to each other and build up one another as we worship God together and learn from God's word? You see, the Bible instructs us to be accountable, so we will not stray away on our own or be led astray by outside influences. And my friends, these are commands from God in the Bible. They are not options for us. We must come together regularly as the body of Christ so we can check on each other and make sure that we are faithfully walking with the Lord and diligently living out our faith. Without accountability, we will be lacking in awareness and alertness. And that is why Paul's third and final instruction to the Thessalonians is to be accountable. Now, next time, when you hear on the news that someone makes another prediction about the second coming of Christ, you know better. So be aware of what the Bible teaches. Be alert and live a life of self-control and be accountable to the body of Christ. We do not know when Christ will come, but we can prepare for his second coming. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. So we want to thank you for instructing us with your word this morning. I pray that you will give us the desire to learn and stay informed, so we will not be led astray by the latest predictions about the end of the world. I pray that you will strengthen us to live a holy life, so that no matter when Christ comes again, we will not be caught surprised and ashamed. I pray that you will discipline us to be accountable to each other, so that together we will learn to walk in all of your ways as a church family. May your name be glorified in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.